So if you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 8, because I'm going to miss the next two Sundays, and we did a little Christmas series, three messages. I didn't want to jump right back in the book of Acts today and then miss the next 2 weeks. So over the week, the Lord gave me a message that's been kind of on my heart and that I've been thinking about the last two or three months, and I wanted to share that with you today as we go into the new year. Pastor Cameron is going to be preaching for us the next two Sundays, and so we look forward to that. And then when I get back on that following Sunday, or on two Sundays from now, three Sundays from now, however the math works out, we're going to be having a baptism, and we have several people that are candidates, and I'm not going to spoil the announcement, but we've had several others around Christmas who gave their lives to Christ who today are going to make their decision public. And so we're excited about baptism. So those of you who are candidates for baptism, we haven't forgotten about you. We will be baptizing you in a few weeks. So we'll get with you and make sure those dates work out. Okay? So take your Bibles, John chapter 8. What will you and I do with the truth as we move into a new year? What will you do with the truth? If you pay attention, you realize that the truth has always been under attack. But even more so, I think, it's more nefarious in the United States of America and throughout the world. It's been going on behind the scenes for a long, long time. But the takeover of many of the institutions that were traditional, that helped our culture, has pretty much happened by the leftists, by the communists, by the Marxists, and by the anti-God cabal. And their intention is to destroy Christianity and destroy Western civilization. And they have gone after the family. They started in the 1960s with the Great Society, government did. African-American families had a higher rate of fathers in the home in the 1960s than other demographics. Do you realize that? And so what they've done is they've created inner cities and a society in certain segments of our society. And it's not just on racial lines, but I think it's more having to do with socioeconomic situations, but they have placed themselves in those communities, and the government has come in and said, you don't need dads. As a matter of fact, dads are bad. It's called the patriarchy. Patriarchy is bad for you. And in so doing, they have made the government the father of children. And so we have fatherless homes all across America. And not only that, they said, you know, you don't have to work. The government will take care of you. Not only that, but if you live an illicit sexual lifestyle, you don't have to worry about the consequences of having to raise a child. We're going to put an abortion clinic in your neighborhood. And you can go take care of that little problem right there. So it's been going on for a long time. As a matter of fact, a person who created Planned Parenthood, I think her name was Margaret Sanger, if I got it right. She was a racist who hated people of color, and she wanted to destroy that demographic, and that's why Planned Parenthood was started, so that that demographic in our culture could be eliminated through abortion. I know you said, preacher, I didn't know that. Go look it up. And so what's happened all of a sudden now is we see the government now is being controlled by Marxists. The judiciary is being controlled. Our educational institutions, and it was for a long time more so the higher levels of education in academia, in the universities. You know, for a long time, and professor, I call him professor, but Mr. Rand can tell you that, you know, as a retired Harvard professor. I mean, he was a conservative with conservative values who taught at Harvard, and they would run him out within the first 20 minutes today. And he can tell you how all that's changed over the years. The destruction of the American family. And then this heinous transgender ideology that's being pushed on us and being pushed on children today. I think it's such a threat that on the weekend of February 24th, we're having Brandon, I keep forgetting how to say his last name, Showalter. I want to say Showalter because there's a boat manufacturing company, Showalter, but Showalter, okay. I'll get it one day. Who spoke at the Identify banquet. He is coming to speak at our church. He works for the Christian Post in Washington, D.C. He lives there. The Christian Post is probably the only Christian news organization that has stayed true to Jesus and to the Word of God. Christianity Today that Billy Graham had founded is lost. They're gone. And so many others. But Brandon has taken on the mantle of fighting this ideology. And he is educating so many of us on what this all means. And so he's coming. And on a Saturday night, we're going to have a meal together. We'll tell you more about it in the coming days. And we're going to have a showing of a movie. I think it's the movie called Dead Naming. Is that the movie? We're going to see it's a 50-minute movie. And then we're going to have a question and answer time with him, and we're going to do our best if we can. Our media people are just finding this out now as I say it, but we're going to try to pipe in the producer and director of that movie who will not be with us, but we're going to try to have that person live that could also hear our questions and answer questions for us and be here for us on that Saturday night. We'll tell you more about it. And then that Sunday morning, Brandon's going to bring the message. Because why are we having that guy here? Because I think that he is the man in the arena fighting a fight, just like Derek is the man in the arena, just like you and I are the men and women in the arena fighting the fight to save our nation, to save our culture, and to save our children from the evil ideology that's out there. So here it is, folks. With that said, you have to make a serious commitment to the truth if you're going to wage that battle and that war and if you're going to win it. You can't play around with it. You have got to be willing to challenge family traditions that don't stand on the truth. You've got to be willing to go against cultural norms that will put you in a bad situation at work or at school or among your friends. Jesus and his truth has to be more important to you than your friends or your family. And Jesus even said it about that he's come to set a mother and father, a mother and daughter against each other. Not that he came to cause division, but because of the commitment that is required in following Jesus, it will divide families. But ultimately for the good in that way, because you have to take a stand. Unless you're willing, Jesus said, to hate your mother and father. And that word hate is not the same way it's used today. That word hate in the scriptures is talking about your love for Jesus has to be preeminent. You can't love your parents above loving Jesus. You can't love your spouse above loving Jesus. You say, I don't understand that, Pastor. What are you talking about? Well, here's what I'm trying to tell you. When you love Jesus with all of your heart and he's first, your love for those others will be more than you've ever thought, but it will be based in the truth. And I'm going to explain that here in just a moment. So, with that said, let's take our Bibles. Go to John 8. And it's more of a topical message. Let's stand together as we read the scripture. And by topical, I mean we're going to look at each point and we'll have a scripture passage for these points. But John 8, in these few verses, pretty much sum up what we're going to say today. And then we're going to spend a chunk of time here toward the end of the message in Romans 1. So you may want to go there. So John 8, 31 and 32 says, "To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples.'" Church, there are a lot of churches today that are not holding to the teachings of Jesus. They have become beholden to the cultural idiocy that's going on. And they've traded in their commitment to Christ and his teachings to popularity and what the culture wants. "So if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And then verses 44 through 47, Jesus said here, "You belong to your father, the devil." Now he's talking to the religious leaders who were not saved. "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." That's what he was telling the religious leaders. That's truth. Father, we ask you to help us as we lay out the reasons for the truth, who the truth is, and how it will impact us going forward. And I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. All right, let me give you these. First thing I want you to see is this. I'm just giving you some statements here. First three points here are just some statements that I want you to see. The Bible says of itself that God's word is the truth. God's word is truth. So what is truth? Where can I find truth? I'm going to make it as simple as I can. I'm not an intellectual. I'm just a simple preacher preaching the word of God. I simply believe the Bible. I believe the Bible is God's word. And you say, well, I don't. Well, okay. Let's see in the end how it ends up. If you're right and I'm wrong, I got nothing to lose. But if I'm right and you're wrong, you got everything to lose. God's word is truth. Look at John 17, 17. Look at what it says about itself. John 17, 17. The Bible says, "Sanctify them by the truth." Jesus in his high priestly prayer is praying. And then he says this, "Your word is truth." All right? Matthew 5, 18. "For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen." In some versions it says jot or tittle, which is the smallest punctuation marks in the Hebrew and Greek languages. Even the punctuation will happen. Not the slightest stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. It's what God is saying. So God's word is the truth. And it would behoove you and me to know God's word and live by it in every facet of our lives. Number two, Jesus is the truth. Matter of fact, the Bible says that Jesus is the Word. And so if God's Word is the truth, then Jesus is the truth. John 14, 6, Jesus says of himself right here. He says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. So I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one. So all of those who say, well, you know, Jesus was a good man, and he's one of the ways to heaven, and there are many different ways to heaven, and I can get there by just being good. Well, then you're calling Jesus a liar. Because Jesus said, I am the way, not one of many ways, but the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You got to come through Jesus. John 1, 14, and then verse 17. John 1, 14 says, the Word became flesh. Who is the Word that became flesh? Jesus, the incarnation, and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and what? Truth. Look at verse 17. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So how do you live by the truth? How do you know the truth? Well, first of all, we know that the Word of God is truth. We can base our entire life. Now, I didn't put the scripture here because I had a lot of scripture I wanted to look at this morning. But 2 Peter says, everything that pertains to godliness and to life and to everything that we need is found in the Word of God. We've got it right here. We've got everything that we need to live this life. God's Word is truth in the Word of God. And who is that truth? Jesus himself. Jesus is God's Word personified. He is the truth. And so when you look to Jesus, you're looking at truth. Number three. And that's the point here that we just read a moment ago. So, his truth will set you free. In other words, a lie will hold you in bondage. But it's amazing how the father of lies, which we're going to talk about in just a moment, how it happens. Before I was a Christian, I can remember this. And that was a long time ago, but I can remember this. I can remember thinking, man, I don't know if I want to give my life to Christ, as y'all are saying, because I'm having to give up control of my life. I thought about that. I was 17 years old thinking through that. And I thought that, you know, I'm going to have to give up all these things that I like, that make me happy, that bring me what I thought to be joy. But you see, that's the nefarious lie. At the moment, they might have been giving me temporary happiness, but as Moses said, that, and Hebrews tells us, that sin is pleasurable for a short time. And literally, living your life for yourself, being the king of your own kingdom, living on, you know, being having yourself as the sitting on the throne of your own life, is a detriment to not only your life and how you live, but to your eternity. And what I realized when I did give my heart to Christ and came to a place that I wanted him and needed him and knew that I needed him for forgiveness, and I reached out to him in his offer of his free gift of salvation to me, only then did I realize what true happiness was, what true joy was, what true freedom is all about. And then it sets you free. Now, don't get me wrong. If Joshua here, who just graduated from Southeastern Seminary with his master's, correct? Going, he's a missionary, and you've spent some time, was it the Philippines? Indonesia. It was in Asia. So, Indonesia, and he's looking at me like, dude, that's like saying, you know, I live in, you know, I'm in Florida, but, you know, we're over here in California. Anyway. And tell me if this is not true. In seminary and in deep theological studies, we learn a lot about error, right? We learn a lot about what is not true. We learn a lot about false doctrine. But the anchor, what brings us all the way back, how do you spot the false, is by knowing the true. That's how you spot it. So his truth will set you free. free. Just an example. Satan, after you become a Christian, is in the business of making you feel guilty. God doesn't do that. You have passed from death into life. You will not come into judgment. What God does when we sin, because we still are trapped in this body of flesh, and in sin never completely leaves us in this life. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So we still battle with it. But Satan says, you're guilty. You're rotten. How can God love you? How can you be a Christian? See, it's guilt. But God doesn't do that. God, through His Holy Spirit, brings conviction. So you see, Satan lies to you even after you become a Christian. He is the accuser of the brethren. Man, I'm so far ahead of my points on this. But it's the truth of Jesus that will set you free. And when you realize that, you are a child of God. You belong to Him. Greater is He that is in you than He is in the world. You have everything that you need to dismantle strongholds and arguments that present itself and exalt itself above the knowledge of the Lord. And you can bring every thought into captivity. You can be free from pornography. You can be free from substance abuse. You can be free from selfishness. You can be free from a horrible marriage. You can have the freedom that God gives you. And when I say free from a horrible marriage, what I'm talking about is God can do something amazing in that marriage. So His truth will set you free. So I want to end with a couple of things here. Actually, three more things. Number four, modern society is built on the suppression of the truth and glorification of man. It's in our face, y'all. You know it. I know it. Modern society is built on the suppression of the truth and glorification of man. Now look with me in Romans 1. Romans 1. Tell me if this is not exactly what's going on today. Tell me if this isn't what's going on today. Romans chapter 1. Look with me in verses 18 through 27. It says here, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them. Let me give you an example of what he's talking about. What is plain to them? I would say don't drink the water here at Jonesville if you don't want any more children. I'm serious, folks. It's happening, man. Everywhere you turn around, we got a wonderful young family having more children. And then, you know, if you drink more than one cup of water, you'll end up with twins. Right, Seth and Tim? Tess and Tim? Right? Twins. Okay. And in all of that, we see they'll post pictures of ultrasounds. It's glorious to see that precious child in the womb, that little tiny human that's in its infant development. You call it fetal development, but it's still human development. The heartbeat. Anybody with a brain that looks at modern medical technology, 4D imaging and all of that, can see that which is conceived within that woman, not a man, a woman. Not a birthing person, a woman. Not a woman who has a monthly, not a person who has a cycle, a woman. Anybody with a brain can look at those images and realize that's a human being in those images, in the womb. So what it's saying here is that since what may be known about God is plain to them, it's plain to see the handiwork of God when you see a little human in a mother's womb. Because God has made it plain to them, it says. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. You can look at nature and see the handiwork of God and see the beauty. Of the biological and all the big words of how it all happens. But look at verse 21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile. You have to have a futile mind, a futile mind, a bankrupt mind, to think that a human being can change their gender. They became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. And because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves a due penalty for their error. The Roman Empire was destroyed from within because of sexual sin, because of paganism, because of absolute debauchery in the way people lived. And our modern society is no different. It's built upon the suppression of the truth and the glorification of man. And here's how they do it. They say this. They say the science is settled when it comes to what they call climate change. Well, according to all these nut jobs, Al Gore being one of them, John Kerry being the other, they are false prophets because they claim years ago that Miami would be underwater. They claim years ago that the peninsula of Florida would be gone for the most part. And yet, it didn't happen like they said. They're educated fools. And so they say, science, and then you can't question it. They cage it in these terms. And they say that sex and gender are two different things. I saw something yesterday about a family. I'm calling her a mother only to define her, but she should be put in jail. And she says this, that her infant child is an it. And one day, that child will determine its own gender, and that its gender was not assigned at birth. And she even said, my mother has no idea the genitalia of it. Child abuse. So modern society is built on the suppression of the truth and the glorification of man. Okay, now let me bring all these together. Number five, Satan is the father of lies. He hates the truth. We've made that clear already. I made that point 2 points ago. Satan is the father of lies. He hates the truth, and he'll do anything that he can to lie. So here's the final thing, number six, final point. So if you love people, you will tell them the truth. If you love people, you will tell them the truth. If you love Jesus, you will live the truth. That's another point I could have put down here. If you love Jesus, you will walk in the truth. But if you love people, you will tell them the truth. I'm not saying to be ungodly or to be mean or to be hateful or to be unkind, but I am saying that it's time. We're not going to change the trajectory of our society as Christians. You know, we want to blame the government. We want to blame the schools for not prayer not being there anymore and for what's going on. We want to blame society. We want to blame everything. It's time for Christians to become soldiers again and to fight. I'm not saying fight like the world fights, but to take a stand. As for me and my house, you choose for yourself whom you will serve, Joshua said. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And if you love people, you will tell them the truth. 1 Corinthians 13:6. Man, I tell you, this chaps me so much. People love to read 1 Corinthians 13 and they just butcher it to pieces. Because when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the first few verses talks about having all these things, but you don't have love, you're a clanging cymbal. You know, if you give your body to be burned, but you don't have love, it profits you nothing. And then it goes and it says that love is kind, love is this, love is that. But boy, people don't like this verse right here. And love does not rejoice or does not delight in iniquity or in evil. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. You can't love someone and be happy for them in their sin. Did you hear what I just said? You can't love them and be happy for them in their sin. I'm not saying it is your responsibility to beat them over the head with the truth all the time. I mean, you know, you give the truth, you lay out the truth, and then everybody's got to go live their lives, right? You might have adult children that aren't following the ways that you've taught them. And it's not to say that you don't continue to speak truth to them, because God will give you plenty of opportunities. But you know what? They have to answer now for their relationship with God. But if you truly love them, you're going to keep living the truth. You're going to keep speaking the truth. You're going to keep telling the truth. Look at what Ephesians 4:15 says. We have a duty to do this. The Bible says instead, what we ought to do is we ought to be speaking the truth in love. And we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. So wrapping all this up, what do we do? What are we going to do with the truth? As we go into 2024, are you going to allow this culture, who are run by God haters, from the politicians to the school boards, and don't get me wrong, I don't know if you know this, but our school board superintendent that we have here is a local man, Mr. Shane Andrews. He's a Christian and he loves the Lord, okay? So I support him and I back him. He was a principal at Newberry High School at one time and principal of several schools in the area. Good man. But I'm going to tell you, the people who run most of the school boards and the people who run the national education, National Association of Educators, is that what it's called? Something like that. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. They hate God. They hate you as parents. They wish that you could be eliminated. They don't want you teaching them about your bigoted religion, as they call it. But if you love people, you will fight for them. And one of the ways you fight for them is by standing for, living in, and telling the truth. We need to be truth tellers to our children. Our children in the home, our adult children, our grandchildren. Don't lie to your kids. I'm looking around. I know we don't have any small kids, so anybody who's offended by this, sorry. There ain't no such thing as a tooth fairy. There you go, son. Or a Santa. Or an Easter bunny. Notice how the world tries to take Christ out of it all. And when our kids lost their teeth, we said, put your stupid tooth under the pillow and there'll be some money in the morning, and it came from me. I'm a hardworking man and your mother, and we put the money there for you, and if you're bad before you go to bed, you ain't getting none. Simple as that. Did you give your children candy on Easter? Yes, we did, and we told them we bought it at Walmart. It didn't grow in a field in some Easter bunny. As a matter of fact, I killed the Easter bunny the other day because I like to eat rabbit. And it wasn't chicken nuggets you had. It was Buster the Bunny you had. Buster nuggets. Well, did you give your kids gifts at Christmas? Did you do the trees and all? Sure I do. Do all of that. But some dude that needs to go on a diet didn't come through our chimney. I mean, how is that possible? I tell my grandkids, I told them this, ask Penny, it's true. I told them on Christmas morning, I said, I want to tell you something. Listen, we got to go on a blood trail. And they're like, what? I said, I shot Rudolph out of the sky, and he's wounded. I did. And one of them's like, Pop, why did you do that? I said, because I want to eat him, that's why. I don't want to hang his horns on my wall. And they look at me, and I'm like, do you eat meat? And they're like, we like chicken nuggets. I said, that poor chicken. Well, my dad would say, because my dad's not a big hunter, but my dad would say, well, I don't hang my chicken head on my wall. Anyway. If you love people, you will tell them the truth. You're not helping them by going along with the fallacies, by going along with their delusion, by going along with their suppression of the truth. You know, meeting Derek Paul and his wife and finding out all about their ministry. And man, one of the things that is so encouraging to me is that they will tell you, and they know it because they live this on a regular basis, that those who are living in that lifestyle, be it transgender lifestyle, being homosexual or gay or lesbian lifestyle, and when they come out of it and come to Christ, you know where they go? They go to the churches and the people that told them the truth. And you know who they have disdain for? Those so-called Christians who tried to make it seem like the way they were living was okay. You say, man, he's angry this morning. No, I'm not angry. I'm just telling you. This is the fight of our lives. This is it. We got to take a stand, and we got to live, and we got to live in the truth, in Jesus. And yes, we love them with the truth, and yes, we put our arms around them, and yes, look, I was a lost scoundrel before I received Christ, and I thank God for somebody loving me, but in loving me, they also told me the truth, and then they lived the truth. They didn't come down to my level and start living like me so that maybe I would, you know, I would want to live like them. No, actually, they created a thirst within me. It was like salt, the Bible says. And the Bible says that, listen, if salt loses its flavor, it's become good for nothing. Then what they do in ancient times, they would take it and just throw it on the ground. It wasn't for human consumption anymore because it would help kill the grass and all of that stuff and make a pathway, and it was to be trodden underfoot. I call that good-for-nothing Christians. So what will you and I do with the truth? Jesus is the truth. His word is truth. The truth will set us free. Our modern society is suppressing the truth. We know that Satan is the father of lies, and he hates the truth. And if you love people, you will tell them the truth. But I think it has to be a mindset. I read this to our Sunday school class today. It's not a passage of Scripture, but it's an amazing quote. It's from the former president, Theodore Roosevelt. It's called The Man in the Arena. And the way I want you to think about it is, I want you to be the man or the woman in the arena. Be in the arena. Don't let them at school teach your kids nonsense and garbage. Don't let them at work force you into things you don't. Be the person in the arena. Get in it. It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again. And I just want to tell you, 2023 was not always a fun time in the arena. There were lots of amazing times. I can't deny that. But let me tell you, it's been hard the last 4 months. And sometimes you come short, you get dust and you get sweat and you get blood, and it's tough. Because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds? Who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause? You know why we can have such joy that's beyond anything? When someone comes to know Jesus, when they were once lost, but now they're saved. You know why it means so much? Because we know the pain of lostness. We know the pain of what it's like to see them make poor decisions in their life and the direction they're going. And that's how you know the great enthusiasms and the great devotions of the Word of God, and who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. Now, it's not a scriptural verse, but there are some scriptural principles that I see in that. And you know, maybe a secular statement. But we used to sing songs like Onward Christian Soldier and used to mean it. Marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. We are Christian soldiers. Let's fall out of love with the culture. Let's stop trying to get the culture to like us. They don't like you. They hate you. They don't like you. They never will. They hate you. They hate you as a parent. They hate your value system. They're never going to like you. And you'll never win them with passivity. You'll never win them with this pablum. We need bold stands, loving stands, kindness when everybody else is being hateful, but clarity. I've never encountered yet a situation where I've been accused of, quote, misgendering someone. And actually, to be honest with you, it never will happen in reality. Someone might feel that I've done that, but no, I'm right and they're wrong. But I know the day's coming because it's baked within me as a Christian, and I don't mean for our northern Christian family. You know, in the South, we were raised that way culturally too in my time to say yes, sir. And y'all may have been raised that way too in some places of the North, but I'm just telling you my experience. Yes, ma'am. No, sir. No, ma'am. You hear people saying, hey, darling, or hey, son, or honey, or sugar, or this or that, and not mean it in any ugly way. But I will say this. I will say, if you're a man today, don't use those words when it comes to young ladies. Just don't do it. Just don't ever do it. You got to change that part in your life, and that's a whole different sermon. But anyway, I'll say this. So I'm going to one day, somebody's going to be serving me coffee, and I'm going to say, well, thank you, sir. And that person's going to go, I'm not a sir. I'm a Zim. My cageness within me is going to want to go all Crocodile Dundee on him and prove to him. If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. But I'm just going to leave it at that. But my response will be, no, sir. You misgender me again. No, sir. I refuse to play your delusional game. And if you want to talk about how you can be set free, I'll be more than happy to talk to you. But this cat ain't doing it. Nope, not going to happen. Because if you love people, you'll tell them the truth. In love. In the right way. Coach has put his own take to what I just read to you. And he's got his own way now that he's, you know, became a Christian years ago, and he put it that way. So, Coach, I want you to be Coach. I want you to stand up. I gave him a little warning. Now,
I don't think I need the mic.
Yeah, you, go ahead, Coach. I'm like, okay, do your thing, Coach. If you don't need the mic, throw the mic. It doesn't matter. Okay, give it to me. Okay.
Serve no God. They sit back and they criticize the doers of the world who make mistakes because they attempt many things. End quote.
Amen. Amen. Amen, Coach. Thank you.
Yes,
that inspires me in the context of this message to be the man in the arena. Because if men and women like you and me check out of the arena, it's all lost forever. You know, it doesn't mean, you say, well, does it mean that I should not homeschool my kids? Is that what you're saying? No, I'm not saying that. Your kids are not to be messed with. They're not an experiment.
Right.
And if you feel led to homeschool because you don't like what's going on there, you do what you got to do. But you're still in the arena.
Amen.
Because you're pouring into them. And if your kids go to public schools, you're in the arena. And you have to pour it into them as much. Because if not, the deck is stacked against us. But one thing that I have tremendous encouragement about, and it's this: the gates of hell shall not prevail. They will not win against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There will always be a remnant. God will always be moving. There will always be people receiving the truth. So that doesn't scare me. And the Bible says that in the last days, many will turn away from the truth. It does say that. I believe some of that's already happened. And I'm telling you, it's a good thing. I mean, it's not good that people aren't following the truth. But if they're not going to follow the truth, I don't want them masquerading as Christians.
Amen.
Go and live your life the way you want. Choose for yourself whom you will serve. Now we know. And let's go serve the Lord together. Let's not check out because it's hard. It's hard. Let's find a way to get the rest that we need. Let's find a way to get refocused. Let's find a way to keep living our lives and making a difference and making an impact for the next generation and for those who are around us. I've met 3 of my neighbors already that I'm going to be moving into a little neighborhood in Trenton. 3 of them. One told me, I'm not political. I'm not religious. I don't believe in God. My wife does. The other one says, I believe in God. I've never been to church. I don't believe in the church. And the other one, she's fried. She might be the one that might have the best chance. So I'm moving into a mission field. Yeah. I better not. Don't do it. I already did. Y'all want to know, don't you? No, I can't. Men, in a few weeks when I come back on Wednesday night, you ask me about what I saw one of my neighbors doing, and I will tell you, okay? That's it. I'm not saying it out here. I'm like, God, can't you put me in a nice Christian little place? I did. I let you live by the church. Well, that ain't always fun. So, this is not, hey, a message to start the new year. No. But I think it's a good time to think about as we get going here. It's a political season. It's an election year. It's going to get nasty out there. But Christians need to get in the arena. And we need to stand on the truth. And that truth is the Word of God, Jesus Christ. And it will set us free. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word. Thank you that we don't have to cower in fear to the cultural demons that want to destroy every vestige of the way you made us. Because we know that the transgender ideology, Father, is an attack against Jesus himself. Jesus is the bridegroom. And the church is the bride. And to distort marriage in that way and to distort gender is to attack God himself. The arrogance of human beings. And that could be us without you. So, Father, help us to determine, if we haven't already, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and we are going with Jesus. We've committed our life, our soul, our way, our lifestyle, everything to Him. We're not afraid. Help us to live that truth in love. As these days proceed, and help us to be encouraged, knowing that the gates of hell will not prevail against your church. You've always had your people. And I pray it in Jesus' name. As our worship team leads us, I want to invite you to respond to God. Some of you who have made decisions to give your heart to Christ, this will be your time to make that decision public. You come and do that so then we can present you before our church and get you ready for baptism in a few weeks. Or if God's leading you to join, come and be a part of this family. We'd love to have you. We're growing together in the truth of God's Word. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.